Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
Who took the bomb?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we'll be sharing our favorite songs about giving thanks. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, Jim and I have new albums by Courtney Barnett and Idols to review.
That is a little bit of Write a List of Things to Look Forward To by Courtney Barnett from her third album, Things Take Time, Take Time. Greg, we've been big fans of Courtney Barnett since her debut EP. I've got a friend called Emily Ferris way back in 2012. It was a buried treasure for you. And we've followed this Australian singer-songwriter's career ever since. Really powerful debut album. Sometimes I Sit and Think, and Sometimes I Just Sit. A fine second album. And now we're up to album number 3. In between there, she made a record with Kurt Vile. Not something you'd have expected. King of slacker garage rock. And this Australian singer-songwriter. She has been suffering, like everyone, from the COVID lockdown, and she made this album without her regular touring band, but in close collaboration with Stella Mazgawa, the wonderful multi-instrumentalist and drummer from Warpaint. Let's dive right in with a song and then give our take on what Courtney Barnett is giving us on Things Take Time, Take Time. I love that title. She has a great way with titles. This is a song called Ray Street. It opens the album on Sound Opinions.
That's a little bit of Ray Street from the new Courtney Barnett album, Things Take Time, Take Time. Courtney's got a sort of a stream of consciousness style about her singing, or a sort of a sing-speak style that I really like, very casual. It totally suited that album she made with Kurt Vile in 2017. That was one of my favorite records of that year, A Lot of Sea Lice. And in some ways, it's a throwback to where she was with her first couple of EPs, which were very much kind of bedroom records. This is another. It's more of a piece with those early EPs in the Kurt Vile record than it is with her two proper studio albums preceding this one.
Those were bombastic alternative rock in the best sense of the words.
Those were big records, largely recorded with her band, which she tours. And she's incredible live. If you have not had an opportunity to see her, we hopefully will again soon.
Yes.
You know, great live band captured well in the studio.
But, you know, effective, Greg, in stripped down mode. We had her for a live taping of Sound Opinions in 2016, much more intimate in the Goose Island tap room. She was great.
Well, that's where songs like Avant Gardener come from, you know, the early days of Courtney, and this is back to that style. I do feel that this record could have used more variety, more rock. It's a little bit more subdued, almost modest to a fault. 10 songs, 34 minutes. I feel it would have worked better as a 6 to maybe 8 song tops EP. I like the sentiments in the record. It's about reaching out to people in isolation.
Yeah.
Reaching out to them. Are you okay? It's about talking about her friends, her acquaintances, even her former lover. So, talking about the idea that, you know, I'm here for you. I'm thinking about you today.
Tuesday night, I'm checking.
So in that sense, it's a nice low-key record to be heard when you're in isolation like we all were for the last year and a half. At the same time, I feel there are some Courtney songs that don't quite hold up to her track record of the recent past. Splendor and Oh the Night, I think those songs don't belong in the record. I think they're kind of slogging the record to a close. I think it would have been better served as an EP. So I'm not entirely sold on this Courtney Barnett record, as much as it pains me to say that.
Well, I think you're wrong. I love this record. You know, Courtney Barnett has been one of the great sidewalk sociologists in pop music history since Ray Davies, or Ray Davis, if you prefer, of the Kinks. You know, and Ray Street opens up with her, you know, in a funk. I don't know what to do today. Maybe I'll change my bed sheets. And then staring out the window and seeing the garbage truck roll by and a mom who is unable to control her kids who are running amok, and all these little things, signs of life, you know, bring her back to the world of the living. You know, for an era where people are obsessed with living online and sharing every detail, Courtney traditionally has told us about others and not as much about herself. You are right. She is singing about love and about relationships and about isolation. And, you know, she's worrying about us, Greg, and it touches my heart when she says, you know, how are you all doing, basically? Are you making ends meet? It's like this was the era of us having to check in on the people we care about because we didn't know how they were making out. I think it's a big leap forward in terms of her subject matter. I love the way that this relatively limited voice, you know, she's got a kind of monotonal voice. And I say that in the great way of Lou Reed or Patti Smith or, you know, Bob Dylan, you know, is able to express so much emotion and carry so much melody. I think this is a great album that really stands up beside her previous two solo records or that Lotta Sea Lice record. I have no problems with it at all. I think you're being stingy.
That is Car Crash from the new Idols record, Crawler. We are fans of this band. Joe Talbot, the singer in the band, was on our show amid the COVID crisis talking about the release of their previous album, Ultra Mono. they have reinvented themselves. It's a often misused and overused word these days, but I think the band has sort of repurposed itself in a lot of ways on this record. They have been around a long time, 2009 in Bristol, England, quintet. Debut EP came out in 2012, debut album in 2017. It was the second album, Joy as an Act of Resistance, in 2018. That got people to notice them on a wider basis. The tour that followed that record really established them as just a major force in rock music. Now they're back with a new record called Crawler. Here's a track from it called The Wheel on Sound Opinions.
So I put up a poster saying, where's my dog? My friends, my family, my job. Nobody turned back out except for my man with a mournful, pious grin and a bag in his hand. And so turns again and again.
That is The Wheel by Idols. Greg, you indicated that there's a significant growth on album number 4 by Idols, and indeed there is. The reason I wanted to bump into this segment with Car Crash was Talbot is looking inward and criticizing himself severely for drug and alcohol abuse. There are two songs on this album. Car Crash is one of them, about a narrowly missed fatal accident, while under the influence, and excoriating himself for that behavior. At one point, he channels his mother saying to him, "Can't you stop your drinking?" Mm. Right? I was thinking that this album was heavily inspired by J.G. Ballard's bizarro world novel, Crash, in 1973. Mm. That has had resonance for many a fine English rock band. Joy Division, your favorites, The Normal, Manic Street Preachers, among others. That mix of the utopian and the dystopian. I am attracted to something that could kill me. So rather than the big worldview and, socialist in the Brit sense politics of much of what Talbot has given us before, he's looking at himself. And meanwhile, the band is growing by leaps and bounds. I don't think there's ever been as fun an Idols song. Yes, fun. Not a word associated with them. Intense, aggressive, but fun as the new sensation, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those goofy dance floor songs.
Do the new sensation. So you want to retrain now? Jumping from the right to the left.
It's the last thing you expect Idols to write about, right?
Like, like Lou Reed and the pre-Velvet Underground doing the ostrich, I think there's a real musical playfulness on this record. The boys were clearly happy to be back in a room again recording, and Talbot is... he has picked up the mantle of Nick Cave in terms of full-on drama that almost skirts being over the top, but the music is so powerful that his intense vocal delivery matches it. And when he's saying, "Can I get an hallelujah?" Mm-hmm. I'm there. I'm like going around the house. I'm screaming, "Hallelujah!" Joe, all right.
Can I get a hallelujah?
This is a high energy record, and it's also a challenging record that will make you reconsider what you think of Idols.
Well, I agree, with that, in that, the first three studio albums sort of established a template for their sound where we think we knew what this band was, and now they're saying, well, we're also this.
Yeah.
And that being that they can write more atmospheric songs, they can write these weirder kind of spectral, soundscapey songs and still make them work. You mentioned Nick Cave. Yeah, I think that's an apt comparison. I think the last couple of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds records have been very much of these kind of deeply introspective, powerful records, not about overwhelming you with the, the heavy-duty rock, but coming at it from a more of a ballad perspective that almost sounds like it's otherworldly. Yeah. And, Talbot is channeling some of that. I think the album peaks right in the middle, the Beachland Ballroom song, that ballad, quote-unquote, a ballad. The word damage gets repeated over and over, and he's dealing with this issue of, you know, his alcohol abuse and coming to terms with that in a really profound way. And the album slowly but surely turns around from that point until the end. He's the song, The End, that ends the record, Life's Beautiful in Spite of Everything. And I'm thinking that ties in neatly with our theme today, Jim.
Yes.
The song of giving thanks despite a lot of stuff that's going
despite
on in the world.
Despite the challenges. Despite all the complications and the amputations,
no
as
kidding.
Lou Reed sang.
Really powerful record from Idols. I wouldn't say totally unexpected, but certainly a change for them in terms of the approach. More introspective, less about those bumper sticker choruses, and more about, you know, going through this personal struggle in a really powerful way. So we've got our reviews in on Courtney Barnett and Idols. Now we want to know what you think. Do you agree with our takes, or did we get it dead wrong? Let us know in our Facebook group or in our Patreon community. Or you can leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. Coming up, we're going to share some of our favorite songs about giving thanks. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, Lemonade Shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back! Every time a big holiday rolls around, it gives us good reason, Mr. Cott, to look through our music collections and find the appropriate songs that connect to that day, which also happen to be pretty great songs. So you know what we are thinking about this week, Thanksgiving! You know, now there are not nearly as many songs specifically about Thanksgiving as there are about Christmas, but the broader topic, I think there's quite a few.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the broader topic being giving thanks in general. And, you know, we thought about this long and hard. Like, let's be appreciative.
Yes.
Because it's really hard to find reasons sometimes to be appreciative. And
that
was kind of the theme behind this week's
it
show.
It was. Now, we did this show once before, Greg, episode 626 in 2017. Yeah. And boy, the picks that both of us made really stand out, I think, as some of the greatest thank you songs ever. I did Thank You by Led Zeppelin. I did ABBA's Thank You for the Music. So I had to dig deeper this time. Some of my picks may be a little controversial, maybe with you, maybe with our listeners. I think I can make a case for each and every one of them. I don't know how I missed Big Star's Thank You, Friends, the first time, because it is one of those great thank you songs. It's on Big Star Third, or Sister Lovers, the album that they made when Alex Chilton and Jody Stevens on drums, when the band was falling apart, they never thought they'd have any career again in the music industry. Nobody cared about Big Star. They had come and gone. The revival and the worship of those power pop greats would not come for many years later. But the you know, this is a Dark Night of the Soul record. It is not what the first two albums were, Big Star or Radio City. And some people think, knowing how cynical, sarcastic, sneering, bitter, I could go on, Alex Chilton could be, that Thank You Friends is about him railing at the people who, you know, claimed some credit for his success while, you know, never having done anything to help him. Mm-hmm. And here he is at this low point in his life. See, I don't hear it that way. I've listened to this many times, and I had known the mythology of Big Star Third, Sister Lovers, and when it was made. But, you know, that album also has Jesus Christ Was Born Today on it, which I think is one of the most beautiful, timeless Christmas songs ever. You know, we're going to do Christmas songs in a couple of weeks with Andy Serzan. You know, we like to go left field with Sound Opinions Christmas. But on my short list, very short list of great rock songs about Christmas, that's one of them. So I think, you know, you could never tell whether Chilton was being sincere or sarcastic. I choose to hear Thank You Friends as sincere. You know, all those ladies and gentlemen, Thank You Friends. And I remember, you know, he died in the middle of South by Southwest, and there was a tribute show put together kind of ad hoc, and it ended with Thank You Friends, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Yeah, it was a beautiful show.
That was a great, great show. And this is a great song, Big Stars, Thank You Friends.
Thank you.
My first song about giving thanks in our second round of doing these, Greg. what have you got for us?
I'm going to go with Sister Sledge, We Are Family. This is a song that has deep meaning for not only me, but the rest of my family. This was in regular rotation on the boombox that stood by the sink in the kitchen.
At Shaycott?
Whenever we were washing dishes, we would crank up the boombox and Sister Sledge, We Are Family, instant dance party in the kitchen. Greg, Deb, Katie, Marissa were all grooving, you know, to the song. And it was, you know, it was just a fun family kind of affair. And this song was written about family. This is, we're talking about Sisters Sledge. We are talking about the four sisters, Debbie, Joni, Kim, and Kathy Sledge. Out of Philly, got signed to Atlantic in 71, same year as John Prine. Mm. But they ended up, you know, doing okay. But Atlantic loved them. They said, they're like family to us. They hired these two upstart producer-songwriters to write songs for Sister Sledge. They happened to be named Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards. They were starting to get some success with Chic, their group, and now this was going to be their first outside production job. Nile told me once that the Atlantic executive was so effusive about talking about, you know, the girls being like family to us. Mm. And the next thing he goes, hey, that could be a song. We are family. Lo and behold, we got We Are Family, a celebratory song about being together with your family. You know, some of us may not be looking forward to being together with our family Thanksgiving.
There's always that one uncle.
but these four women really did love each other, and you can hear it in this song. And that, you know, I can say the vibe definitely translated to our household as well. We Are Family from Sister Sledge. Our family, Sister Sledge on Sound Opinions, a song of thanks. Jim, what do you got next for us?
I'm going to Earth, Wind, and Fire, Mr. Cott. And it's never a bad reason to go to Earth, Wind, and Fire, no matter what they're singing about. It was soul, funk, and R&B day in music and media in Chicago. My big first year student class yesterday, and man, they just love when we get to Earth, Wind, and Fire. Those costumes, those horns, Maurice White, you know, trying to be cool and dance cool, and not really pulling it off. This former Chess record session drummer, mm-hmm. who really, you know, boy did he put together a great band. Gratitude was the title of an album they put out in 1975. I think of all the Earth, Wind, and Fire songs, this is maybe in the middle third or bottom third, which is only a testament to how great Earth, Wind, and Fire is that I'm not putting it in the top third, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, this sentiment is timeless. Want to thank you. Freedom in stride, love, peace of mind. I just want to give gratitude. I think that's a very nice sentiment on this holiday. No?
Oh, yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire, man. Celebration for the African-American community in the 70s. That was a rare and beautiful thing. Because I think they uplifted many people with songs like this.
As one of my students said yesterday on a snowy, cold, dismal Monday with only 4 weeks to go left of the semester, boy, it's impossible to listen to this and not feel great. So, gratitude by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
We just want to give gratitude.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, Maurice White and company showing some gratitude.
That's right. You're going to only throw your hands up and celebrate when you hear a song like that. This next song, there are different levels of giving thanks. Some can be a little darker than others, and I'm going to go to one of the little darker sentiments, expressions of gratitude. Tyler, the Creator, with a song called Gone, Gone, Thank You from his Igor album from 2019. This was basically an album-length look at a love triangle. Tyler's seeing a man who is also seeing a woman, and the couple is being pulled away from Tyler. So he's feeling left out. And by the 10th song on the record, it's over. The relationship is over. And it's a somewhat bittersweet song, with the bitterness dominating the first half of the song. And then at about the 4.5-minute mark, it transitions. But by the way, as much as I am upset about what has happened here, I want to thank you for the love that you did give me while we were together. I want to thank you for bringing me joy. And he tries to remember the good parts of the relationship, which is a really difficult thing to do after you've just been burnt. But Tyler sort of summons up this sentiment that, you know, it wasn't completely wasted. I can't view it as a complete waste of my time because while we were together, I really did enjoy it. So I think it's kind of a powerful sentiment, a powerful way of expressing gratitude at a very difficult time.
Well, it takes a big person to be able to say thank you to someone who hurt you.
Yes, exactly. And that's exactly what he's doing here. Tyler, the Creator, with Gone, Gone, Thank You on Sound Opinions. Tyler, the Creator, with Gone, Gone, Thank You on Sound Opinions.
A reminder to listeners, Greg, that Tyler, the Creator, is a completely different artist these days, as we said when we reviewed his last album, than he was in the odd future beginning. So if you like that song, make sure to start with Igor or later.
Right.
Don't dig earlier. I'm thankful that Tyler, the Creator, has matured beyond his start. I'm going to an artist now who we haven't played often on Sound Opinions, Bonnie Raitt. I'm going to go to the very start of her career. Her debut album, released in 1971, I didn't know this because I was turned off by the accolades circa her many Grammy wins. And I just thought, okay, all right. But you know, Bonnie Raitt was much stronger in the beginning when nobody cared. You know, In 1971, she records her debut album at a abandoned summer camp, Enchanted Island, about 30 miles west of Minneapolis on Lake Minnetonka, because she was a huge admirer of those legendary Twin Cities bluesmen, John Kerner and Dave Ray, who I used to go see like on Tuesday nights at this fake British pub in Minneapolis. They were wonderful. Kerner, Ray, and Glover had a standing gig and recorded live to four-track. You know, you can hear the empty summer camp. You can hear that Minnesota wind, you know. And Thank You is one of the standout tracks, and it's as beautiful a love song as you can hear, really. Sitting here thinking, baby, about you, wondering how I ever got through my life without you. I think people who have experienced true love, you know, saying thank you for that, how did I do this before you came into my life, that's a beautiful and timeless sentiment. Bonnie Raitt, Thank You.
Sometimes when you're sleeping, I wonder if it's true. Take away this precious dream of you. Then you wake and hold me and love me through the night. Then I know that somehow everything will be alright. Thank you, baby, for giving me my life. I love you, honey.
Thank you, Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah, the Bonnie Raitt debut album is fantastic.
That is a great album.
Really good record. She had a real great feel for blues, jazz, R&B, soul. I mean, she's one of the great song interpreters of all time.
Well, clearly one of those albums where she'd been living her life waiting for the minute when she got to put it all down on
tape.
Yeah,
sure. Speaking of great singers and interpreters, as well as interpreting her many own great songs, Lucinda Williams has a song called Stowaway in Your Heart from the Down Where the Spirit Meets the Bone record in 2014. Lucinda's been on a roll. I'd say the last decade and a half, one great album after another.
You're right.
She had a long stretches between albums before then, but I think she's figured it out. She's figured out how to get comfortable in the recording studio and get down what she does best. Even her love songs are unconventional. This is a song where she's talking about love as, you know, being a stowaway. Okay, what does that mean exactly? You're sort of hiding away from the rest of the world, you know? And in her conception of love in this song, she's talking about the whole idea that love is like being a stowaway. It's a place where you can be yourself, where you can be secure, where you can feel shelter from the storm, to quote, you know, Bob Dylan. One of her favorites. That is a powerful sentiment too. And I think she's feeling gratitude towards the person who can provide that, who can make her feel that way. It's, to me, it speaks to a relationship that is not brand new. It is a relationship that has been long lasting. It's the relationship that a married couple has over the years, as Lucinda has now been married for a number of years. And I think it's coming from that place. Stowaway in Your Heart by Lucinda Williams on Sound Opinions.
Thank you for giving me a place to keep my love. I don't need anything special, none of that stuff. I'm a stowaway in your heart, and that's enough.
That is Stowaway in Your Heart from Lucinda Williams. A little bit of gratitude on Sound Opinions.
When we return, we'll hear our final picks for songs about giving thanks. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
And that's the prize.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back. This week, we're sharing songs about giving thanks just in time for Thanksgiving. Greg, I think if you put these songs on a playlist together with those we chose on episode 626 back in 2017, that'll get you through the dinner. No problem. Yeah. All the way to the pumpkin pie. We got a few more picks to share. This is where I go off the deep end and open myself to being mocked by you, I think. You know, look, I did Led Zeppelin. I did Sly and the Family Stone. Thanks for letting me be myself back in 2017, right? So I'm looking for songs about thanks, and I'm digging deep, and I'm finding them, and I'm saying, do I really want to play Fall Out Boy on my radio show? And yes, I will play Fall Out Boy. Now, there are many things about the eyeliner-wearing Pete Wentz that became very, 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 very silly, right? But I first met Fall Out Boy down at South by Southwest when they had driven in a van all the way from Chicago. They were still playing here, Fireside Bowl, you know, unloading the van themselves. And I really like them. And even when they got, you know, filling the arenas and having big hits and being silly, whenever I wrote about Fall Out Boy, I got the sweetest notes from their parents. I'd always get these emails, you know, thank you for writing about my boy Pete. Thanks for writing about Patrick again, Jim. You know, it's always a treat to see them in the Sun Times, right? And I didn't always praise what they were doing, but there were things that I liked about those big pop punk, I'm on thin ice even using that term to describe them with their production value. I did like their pop punk hooks. I did like Mr. Wentz's over-the-top, super pretentious lyrical ways, right? I'm going to play Thanks for the Memories, of course, right? Now, that is spelled THNKSFRTHMMRS. They took out all the vowels, right? And what was that a response to? Of course, Fall Out Boy was infamous for having these super, super long song titles and album titles. And the record company at one point says to Pete, can you make them a little shorter, right? It's going to be a little more friendly for radio. So Pete's answer to that was writing Thanks for the Memories and taking out all the vowels from the title. He had a sense of humor, and Patrick Stump had a great, great voice. This song is one of those sarcastic thank yous. I'm going to make you bend and break it. It's about somebody who broke his heart, right? And I think is saying to him, you know, he tastes like you, only sweeter. because the object of his affections has moved on, right, to something better. And his response, thanks for the memories, right? Mm. But you can take out the nastiness and make it still a good song to play with your cranberry sauce. And I will add that all my young students just think Fall Out Boy is the greatest. I think it's a generational thing. I always liked them, but I always laughed at them. Fall Out Boy on Sound Opinion.
And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key. One night, one more time. Thanks for the memories, even though they weren't so bad. It tastes like you from the sweeter. One night, yeah, one more time. Thanks for the memories.
The other thing I forgot to mention, Greg, Thanks for the Memories by Fall Out Boy, is produced by Babyface, one of two songs on that album where, I mean, they were always trying to color outside the lines.
Well, okay, got to give him credit for that. I will say I'd like the Patrick Stump solo record. Does that count?
Yeah, yeah. You always laughed at my Fall Out Boy affection.
Yes, I still am, Jim.
Just
in case you're wondering.
Come on, give it to me. I'll thank you for giving me Fall Out Boy grief. It gets worse as my picks go on. It's going to get worse.
All right, I'm bracing for that. I want to play a Chicago artist as well. Chance the Rapper,
yes,
with a track called Blessings from his Coloring Book LP in 2016. Talk about boatloads of Grammys. That was a big winner the following year.
His big breakthrough.
And, as with many Chicago hip-hop artists in recent years, gospel underpinning a lot of what Chance does on this record.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on multiple levels, not just the content of the lyrics, but also in the spirit of the record about community. The church, gospel, the church community, the African-American community is about togetherness, about bringing more people into the fold. The idea that Chance is sharing a lot of these recordings with his friends in the band, The Social Experiment, with his friends on the Chicago scene, like Jamila Woods, who has a major vocal part on this record. Mm. That's the spirit of this record. And the whole idea, he would end many of his concerts with the sentiment, are you ready for your blessings? You know, and people would say, people look askance at religion, Christianity, when it's invoked in pop songs. I think Chance does it in a way that's universal, that's beyond, tokenism to a specific religion. It's about a broader sense of good things happen to you when you least expect them.
Mm.
You know, like this, it's not going to be like on a schedule where you can predict when it'll happen.
Yeah.
Live your life in service to others, good things will happen. That's essentially the sentiment in the song. I think that's something, those are words to live by. Love your neighbor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Two artists, Chicago artists, who I deeply, deeply respect from that standpoint. Chance the Rapper and Jamila Woods on Blessings on Sound Opinions.
It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap. It seems like blessings keep falling in my lap. I don't make songs for free, I make them for freedom. Don't believe in kings, believe in the kingdom. Chisel me into stone prayer, whistle me into song air. Dying laughing with Krillin saying something about blonde hair. Jesus, black life ain't matter. I know I talked to...
That is Chance the Rapper with Blessings on Sound Opinions. Jim, you said you're going to go deeper into the...
We're
is this kind of guilty pleasure territory here? Is
I was
going to
say
about?
Guilty pleasures. Okay. Yeah, we're trying to recover from our Catholic upbringings and not be guilty about any pleasure.
Right.
You and I both have a soft spot for 70s AM pop radio, right? I always love the picture of young Mr. Cott with the big afro in bed with the AM radio, right? And I did too. I mean, that was our introduction to music. And pop music... on mainstream radio was very adventurous in terms of spanning genres in the 70s. This is not necessarily one of those genre-spanning great songs. Andrew Gold, thank you for being a friend. All right, who was this guy? Third tier LA singer-songwriter in the era of like Linda Ronstadt, James Taylor, right? Probably best known in some ways for writing a couple of Linda Ronstadt's songs early on. There was that whole scene, right, of granola-eating, long-haired wannabe hipsters in Laurel Canyon, right? He's one of them. He had four albums from the mid-70s to 1980. None of them did much, Greg, so he found another career writing music for TV shows. Thank You for Being a Friend is re-recorded and becomes the theme song for Golden Girls. There are many people that love that sitcom, okay? Yeah. For campy reasons I shall never understand. I never liked that sitcom, right? He also wrote, did you know this, the theme song for Mad About You, another sitcom I could have cared less about, and many other. But I don't know. I went to this song because I was thinking of, what was that song from 70s AM pop I used to hear all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a Thank You for Being a Friend. I say that to you with all sincerity, Greg Gott. Thank You for Being a Friend. And I'm sorry I'm going to play Andrew Gold on Sound Opinions. Andrew Gold, Thank You for Being a Friend.
Well, you know what? The Golden Girls did have Betty White in it, though, didn't it?
Oh, Betty White's
She's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, like, raise our game here a little bit. I'm going to go to a Ray Davies song. By the way, Ray Davies, that's the way most people pronounce it. We had Ray himself on the show. Ray Davies, in case anybody's going to complain.
So I want to say thank you to every single listener who writes in and tells us we are pronouncing his name wrong, no matter whether we say Davies or Davis.
Right, right.
When we have said Davis, we hear from people, what are you guys, stupid?
Yeah,
his name is Davies.
No, I
will go always with the person who tells me how to pronounce
exactly.
his, her, or their name. But that's not good enough for some
people.
We
have to thank Ray for that.
Thank you, Ray.
And we also have to respect the fact that that's what he prefers to be called. That's what the name is pronounced.
That is what, but he didn't, you know, in all fairness, it took him like 50 years to tell the world that.
And for that reason, I'll just call him Ray.
Ray.
So Ray wrote this song, Days, that was released as a single in 68. It did end up on a record, and then it got pulled off that record for the U.S. release. And, you know, he did not think that much of the song. And now it has become one of those go-to songs for Kinks fans because it's a great song. And Ray has come around, said, you know what, it holds up pretty well.
Maybe it wasn't so bad.
And essentially, it's addressing a breakup, apparently. But it works in a way that could be applied to a million different scenarios, it seems like. Thank you for the days. Thank those endless days, those sacred days you gave me. So there's a parting going on here. Somebody's saying goodbye to someone else. Is it a song of appreciation about someone who's gone, someone who had an impact on the narrator's life and has since moved on, you know, a relationship? Is it an appreciation for a former lover or a friend? Or is it some beloved family member who died, eulogizing them at their funeral? So it has multiple applications, but it is, in fact, looking back with fondness on a certain period in your life that this person brought you joy. Days by the Kinks on Sound Opinions.
I bless the light that lights on you, believe me. And though you're gone, you're with me every single day, believe me. Days I'll remember all my life. Days when you can't see wrong from right. You took my life, but then I knew that very soon you'd leave me.
Days by the Kinks on Sound Opinions. Jim, you've got one more, right?
I do have one more. And I'm sorry. Actually, this is not a bad song. It was ruined by a subsequent sample, I think, to some degree. I'm going to play Thank You by Dido. All right. One of the rewarding things of digging back deep into an artist that you know came and went and you basically forgot about. I did not know this, and this is a rather gratuitous mention, but I have to come up with it. I think after Brian Peter George St. John Le Baptiste de La Salle Eno, that's Brian Eno's full name, that the longest name in pop music history belongs to Florian Claude de Bonneville O'Malley Armstrong, a.k.a. Dido.
No. Okay.
You can see why you would want a really short name, Eno or Dido, if that was your full name. I had not thought about Dido since the 90s, and Thank You was a huge hit. And I was playing it this morning, and my wife says, why are you playing Dido, first of all? And then she says, wow, it's so good to hear this again. All right, so maybe it's not irredeemable. I think that when Eminem sampled it for Stan, one of his most misogynistic, homicidal fantasy songs, it kind of ruined
not,
it.
It's not really misogynistic, though.
No. Well, Stan wants to kill
I kind of like Stan.
You like, well, yeah, but it's, it, yeah, I think Stan's it's a, the obsessed
one of his better
fan
songs.
And yeah, it gives us pop culture reference Stans when you're a Stan of someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It was everything around Stan was tainted for me by the misogyny of him constantly wanting to kill his wife, ex-wife, Kim.
In song.
Yes, in song. He never did it.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I couldn't forgive Dido for letting Eminem sample it, right? Or then, you know, then he plays it, I think it was at the Grammys, with Elton John singing that part. I was like, all right, whatever. But you know what? This is not a bad little song.
Worked for me. I don't know. I liked it in both versions.
You liked it.
In both versions.
You liked it.
Yeah.
Well,
I like it sampled in Stan. I liked her original version of it. I thought
it
was great.
I think the way it starts, her tea's getting cold. She's wondering why she gets out of bed at all. You know, it's everybody's been feeling that for the entire 2-year ordeal of COVID. And then, you know, there's this ray of sunshine. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving me the best day of my life, as Dido says. So thank you, Dido. And this is Thank You by Dido.
And then you call me and it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Dido, thank you. When's the last time you thought about Dido, Greg? And where is Dido today?
Today I thought about
today.
Dido, thanks to you.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. I'm good with it. I'm actually going to go home and play Stan now.
I was really trying
That's
to
what
figure
I really
out,
want to hear.
You know, what happened to Dido's career, and I was coming up pretty empty. She's been not doing much for a long time now.
That's true. Well, that's kind of the one-hit wonder, right? But she's had multiple albums, right?
Yeah, she had a couple albums, right.
I wanted to end on a note where I talk about a love of bands. Thank you to the bands for being a band. Thanks for being a band, man. You ever said that to anybody at the end of a show? I'm pretty sure when I was about 18, I said that to about 17 bands.
The line I always loved along those lines was the Del Fuegos would put on the cover of every one of their albums, good luck to all bands.
Yeah,
we're all in this together.
Exactly.
I love that.
Right, right. Just for being a band and getting up there and playing. You got up there and you played, man.
Yeah.
This song, the Descendants are both poking fun at that idea, and they're also embracing it. And I think there's an element of sincerity in the way singer Milo Aukerman delivers the lyrics that were written, in fact, by the bassist in the band, Carl Alvarez. Mm. Carl never spilled the beans on which band he was talking about in this particular song. So it could be any band. It's your favorite band. You know, our band could be your life, as the Minutemen once said. And that's what this song embodies. I don't think there's been a better song, a better love song, gratitude song written about a band than this particular one. And it can, as I said, it could apply to anyone. Thank you for playing the way you play. Did you know you're why I go and waste my time at a rock and roll show? At the greatest poetry. You let me know I'm not alone. That's the line that always gets me. You let me know I'm not alone. Yeah. I think a lot of people go to shows and they realize, you know, there's other people out here that are into the same thing I am. It makes me feel alive. It makes me feel like
freaks like me.
Things are worth going on, right? The Descendants with Thank You on Sound of Hands. Descendants, amazing pop punk band, many, many decades of service to us with their songwriting, and that is one of the best. Thank you on Sound Opinions.
That wraps up our conversation, and now we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite song about giving thanks? Leave a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Jim, next week, nothing less than one of our favorite artists ever to appear on Sound Opinions. Amy Mann is going to go through her life in music, picking some of the tracks that defined her as an artist.
Something new and different with Amy Mann.
Indeed. And this week on our bonus podcast, you added a song to our Desert Island Jukebox.
Indeed I did. You'll just have to listen to the bonus to find out what. For more Sound Opinions, listen to our podcast wherever you find such things. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors.
And speaking of sponsors, every week our show reaches hundreds of thousands of curious listeners from around the globe via podcast and on 150 public radio stations nationwide. If you'd like to learn more on how your business or organization can also reach this engaged and educated audience, you can email sponsor at soundopinions.org. That's sponsor at soundopinions.org.
Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced, and we thank our producers, by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, and our intern, Mary Bernthal. Our social media consultant, last seen dancing around the kitchen to Sister Sledge, is Katie Cott.